As always, there's the jitters before you get up here. There's the jitters when you're up here. And that's why I'm rambling to try and find my words. But that's why we're doing this. Tonight's topic comes from, well, obviously the Bible, but I stole the collective topic from Brother Wayne Fancher. If you recall, he recently held a meeting over in Weatherford. And while I did not get to hear the sermon myself, I did manage to snag his outline. And pretty much this is what it's going to be, though I did modify it a little, because I felt he forgot one very important thing, and we're going to lead with that. But the topic is how to grow a local congregation, a local church. And Stan, yes, I saw you peek to see if the title was on there, but I didn't actually put it on top of the paper. So, but the first point is you have to grow yourself. If you don't grow yourself, there can be no growth. If you would, and if you don't see me flip in the Bible, it's because they're all right here. If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Actually, only verse 15. It reads, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Ah, you've got me. The Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. Yes. No, you're not. Should be. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, beginning. "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Do you qualify as a man of God, whether you're female or male? Do you qualify as a man of God? If you do, the scripture makes you complete. You should know it. Furthermore, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Now, who is there to harm you?" And this is the Apostle Peter speaking to Christians. "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Now, who's going to ask? Hello, I'm breaking the mic. I'm going to forget that for now. Who's going to ask you a reason for the hope that is in you? If you know that, please tell me. I would like to know how to be prepared for each individual person. But I do happen to know how to be prepared for each individual person. Be ready to know what the Word of God says. Because it says to make a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. How many angles can that come from? Not just that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ. It can come from any direction. You have to know your stuff. This is a command right here to know your word. You have to grow yourself. Secondly, you have to teach your natural sphere of influence. What would that be? Well, if you're a parent, as I am, you know. you have your children. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 4, and only verse 4, I need to learn to stop saying that, but that's why we're doing this. In verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." It says, "Fathers." You ladies are like, "Yes! I don't have any work to do." It says, "Dad's got to do it." But as I had somebody point out recently, it very could easily say parents. It doesn't say parents. It does say fathers. So yeah, you're stuck. But it could very easily say, parents, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But as men, we have that obligation to teach those in our natural sphere of influence, our children, the ways of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And this is for you ladies. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you." That's not a command to you ladies, but you see, two women forever, eternally till, well, I say eternally, but until the end of time when the word ceases to be needed, glorified for one, passing on to her daughter her faith, and then her daughter her son. This is for women as well. So yes, parents, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and do it generationally. Yes, your grandchildren are in your sphere of influence. And here's one that I do not think gets considered very often. It struck me when I first realized it, when I first understood that, yes, the Apostle Paul is talking to women, but he is severely obligating men as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to begin this time, truthfully, in verse 34. He says, "The women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask a teacher. Let them ask an elder. Let them ask the preacher. Let them ask the person next door." No. "Let them ask their husbands at home where there are no teachers, no elders, no preacher, at home. If there is anything beyond outside, obviously, a Bible class that a married woman seeks to learn, she should learn it from her husband at home." You know what this does? This obligates growth in the husband. Wow. So husbands, you need to be prepared to teach your wife if she comes to ask you. And guess what? If she asks you something you don't know, you get to go learn. It's simple, but it is required, because they have instruction of the Lord not to disrupt the assembly. So we grow ourselves, and then we teach our natural sphere of influence. Now we start to get into the local congregation. Build up the brethren you meet with. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 15, he says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, whom the whole body joined and held together in every by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What we didn't read here is previously in verses 11 through 13, he's telling us who God gave so that the church can grow, so the church can be edified. But here, while speaking previously of specific offices, he's talking to all of the Ephesians. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we all are to grow up in every way into him who is head. Now, he also says, when each part is working properly. Are you working properly? Are you doing what you should do to edify your brothers and sisters? Can you? Because have you grown yourself? Have you been exercising that inside your sphere of influence? Things to think about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live in him. Therefore," and this is to all of the Thessalonians, "therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers," that's every person here, "admonish the idle." I can't admonish anybody. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you can teach your natural sphere of influence, which you're obligated to, you can admonish. Encourage the faint-hearted. Everybody can do that. I have been encouraged by every one of you from time to time. Help the weak. Each of us can help the weak. Each of us. Oddly enough, I'll bring this to an interesting discussion. My wife and I are planning for the future, where we're going to send our son to school, how we're going to handle the other kids, how many other kids we're going to have if the Lord wills, where we're going to move when we're ready to move, when we are busting out the seams at our current house. Normally, I'm the one that's ready to go just purchase things, to go do stuff. I am the spontaneous one, and I'm literally on the way here tonight. Honey, just calm down. We'll get there. We're not signing anything today. Calm down. I am the one who is, you might say, normally weak in this area. But here I am because I know what it's like to be like, I'm ready for this. Let's do it. Here I am calming my wife down. You may think that you struggle in an area, and you may struggle in an area. But you are the best person of all how to encourage another person to keep going. Help the weak. Every one of us can do that. Be patient with them all. This one's speaking to me. In fact, I will say, I chose this because I need to hear it myself. I need to hear it more than anyone because I do fancy myself semi-skilled in the Word. But be patient with them all. Patience. I need to work on that. And I learn from each of you. But everyone can be patient. See that no one repays anyone for evil, but always seek to do good one to another and to everyone. Who can do that? if we do that, if we do good one to another, we practice that. And then it says, and to everyone. Once we are good at doing it to each other, we can then take it outside the congregation and do good to others. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. We need to pursue those things which make for peace and mutual upbuilding, edifying. It is summed up in that verse. Now that we have encouraged one another, that is a form of love, and I was looking at this, and these two very easily are interchangeable. But he made them separate, so I will keep them separate. Grow in love for one another. Once we have built each other up, we need to grow in our love for one another. John the 13th chapter says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Ha. We're good. We all love one another. This is good. This is how we grow the local congregation, that we love one another. That makes sense. We show love one to another. And that grows the church? Yes, it does. Yes, it very much does. Jesus continues by saying, by this all people, because we love one another, all people will know that you are my disciples. Was it the first song that we sang tonight, Stan? The World's Bible? What if your type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? All people will know that we are Jesus' disciples when we love each other. If you have love one for another. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Verse 24 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Ooh, there's a good one. How many of us are willing? Not me, not really. How many of us are willing to skip the Lord's worship? The times that we meet. It says right here, it's how we stir up one another to love and good works, by meeting together. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. There we are, back to the building up. And all the more as we see the day drawing near. It's clearly a one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. Here it is. Showing love to one another. But we also have to show that love to all. Not only will they know that we are His disciples by loving one another, but because we also love them. And this was a point that I appreciated very much in Stan's sermon this morning. It's not just the people who are here. It's everyone else. If you recall, Christ died not only for you and me, but for them. We need to have love for one another and for all, as the apostles did for the Thessalonians and also for us, so that he may establish, that is, the Lord, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Growing in our love for each other will grow the church. Secondly, I say secondly, wow. It's down the list. Next, we need to look and pray for open doors. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? For a wide door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. This one is where I struggle the most. For a wide door for effective work has been opened to me. I will say, I struggle with the boldness to actually step out. One way that I try to do it, someone takes the Lord's name in vain. You've heard someone say it. Oh my. Yes. Can I help you finish your prayer? Is there something that you would like to further entreat the Lord your God with? Someone uses the name Jesus as an exclamation for something bad. I don't know how in the world that works. Yes, he is alive. Yes, he is alive. Did you hear about that man who did XYZ? Yes. Yes, I heard about that. Did you know that he wouldn't have done that if he had understood this in the scriptures? I struggle with walking through open doors. People ask questions. People say things. They present for us daily opportunity for us to walk through open doors. Wide doors for effective work. Do we take it? I struggle with that. That's me telling you. You may not. But we need to learn to walk through it. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. This is just more of a supporting verse. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel, even though a door was opened... that's why it's in here. Even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. I wanted to be focused on the work, but I was afraid of something else. My mind was stirred up with something else. There was a door of opportunity there, but my mind was stirred with something else. I think this is a beautiful reminder that yes, the apostles also were people. If you read Romans, you kind of figure that out about Paul. He said he struggled with some things. But here, he says, even though a door was open for me, my spirit was not at rest. I was troubled by something. But still, he recognized there was an opportunity. And I said we need to pray about it. Colossians, the fourth chapter. Yes, it says it plainly. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. How many of us pray every day that God would open a door for us, for the Word, and then pray that we might be able to make it clear, which is how we ought to speak? I struggle with that. But do we pray And do we look for these open doors? If we can grow in our love for one another and build each other up, we can start looking and praying for open doors. And once that occurs, we need to let the Word of God sound forth from us. The reason I had Brother Matney read from Acts, forget what I said it was. I wrote it down, forgot where it was. Y'all have to go back and look at that. Said that the Word abounded. Why? The Word didn't just poof along. It wasn't like a cloud of fog washing over people. Who was it? Or what was it that was causing the Word to abound? Why were people being added to the Lord's church daily? I'll tell you. Acts chapter 8. Verse 4 says, "Now those who were scattered went." Those who were scattered went about preaching the Word. Now, it says that they were preaching. Does that mean you have to be Stan? No. Here's something that someone taught me once. Again, I haven't necessarily put it into practice. But if you are a Christian, you know the absolute base that you need to about the Word of God to go forth and convert. The recipe is simple, creating a Christian. And everybody knows, and every Christian who has heard the Word and obeyed it should have been told at some point that this is just the first step in a lifelong journey. Once you give yourself over to the Lord, the growth continues. So those who are scattered, if it were today, it would be you, it would be me, it would be male, it would be female. Consider Priscilla and Aquila. That was a man and a woman. They happened to be husband and wife. But what did they do? They found somebody who they could teach. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. "And you become imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the Word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you become an example, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the Word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything." So if the Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonians that we do not need to say anything about your faith because it has not only gone into Macedonia and Achaia, but to everywhere, why is he saying anything about it? It's so that we can understand that we also need to have the Word of the Lord sound forth from us. Why? So that our faith in God can be known everywhere. So that nobody has to question or say anything about it. And this is where we as a congregation have to reflect on this. How effective are we at sounding forth the Word? Again, I point at myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the promise. Trying to remember where I heard it. I heard it, I think it was today. The parable, no, I heard it. Friday evening, Brother Louis Zamora, who is probably currently preaching as I'm preaching right now, over at the Woodmont congregation. He talked about the parable of the sower. We call it the parable of the sower, but he said we need to call it the parable of the soil. Because it is actually about the soil, but guess what? There is a sower. Somebody sows. Somebody labored to get that word out there, to get the word out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers," and he's not talking to preachers, he's not talking to teachers, he's talking to you, he's talking to me, both male and female. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." The Lord only has one work. Guess what that is? The spreading of the gospel. Here's the beauty, and here is the promise. Knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. And I bring up the parable of the sower, because if we're tossing that seed, guess what? Eventually, something's going to sprout. Something will sprout. Briefly, as a recap, we need to grow ourselves. I know, not a long sermon. Hopefully it was effective. We need to grow ourselves. We need to teach our natural sphere of influence. And this isn't because it's something nice to do. We have the command to do it. Then we need to build up the brethren that we meet with. We need to grow in our love for each other. We need to look and pray for open doors, and then we need to let the word of God sound forth from us. It might not be today that we get out there and we do it. It might take just a little bit of time for us to build up to that. But we need to build up to it. I don't know about you, but I'm not getting any younger. Now, I look out and I see a lot of gray hair. That's not a bad thing. Justin, sorry. You're not that much older than me, but you are silver, my friend. And that's okay. Some people are like that. But I'm not getting any younger. It won't be but a few more years. And some of y'all are like, "Sit down, son." It won't be that much longer till my hair is gray as well. What are we doing while we're here to grow the congregation that we are a part of? There's a beautiful song in the supplement, "The Apples in a Seed." I encourage each of you to read it. We probably should learn to sing it a little bit more. Doesn't matter if you're 9 or 99. You don't know what will come from you planting the seed. But we need to plant seed. Conclusion. Acts chapter 6. In verse 7. "Just as in the first century, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." How did the word of God continue to increase and the number of disciples multiply? That's the question I want y'all to ask yourselves, as I ask myself. We know the answers. I just went over it. This hasn't been a sermon or a topic geared necessarily at getting you into the Lord's church. It's been a sermon for those here. who happen to be Christians. But if you are not a Christian, you should become one. Why? Because your eternal soul is at stake. Yours, not anybody else's. Your soul is at stake. You need to hear the word and believe it. You need to repent of your sins, as the Lord points them out very plainly. You need to confess that He is Lord. Then you need to be baptized into His body so that you might walk in newness of life. If you have done those things, but you have in some way stumbled and need to make it known to the brothers here, we would ask that you take care of that. We are willing to pray with you. If you can take care of it on your own, that's fine. But please take care of it. But if you would like us to encourage you, if you would like us to pray with you, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.